You're listening to the Legion of Reason.
All right. Welcome to this, episode 212 of the Legion of Reason Diversion, and I am your host, the Supreme Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson. I am joined by my two darling co-hosts. Oh, I'm sorry, that was sexist. Huh. That was sexist. Totally misogynistic. The internally misogynized, Christine and the ever feisty Twyla. And this is, as I said, episode 212. It is September 17th. Of 2017. And we got a bunch of things coming up, including a story about a man who finds out that his master's degree from a diploma mill isn't worth squat. I can't believe they're actually having a marketplace, CBC Marketplace show investigation on this. Like, come on.
Maybe it's getting too popular, too many people getting it. Was expensive.
Yeah, no kidding. It was expensive, all right. Dumbass.
But it says that there might be hundreds of people like practicing with these fake degrees in professional capacities.
Well, you know, so, practice makes perfect.
Dangerous.
I don't think so. But I think there's a problem with diploma mills as well as predatory journals. And you have to, as a scientist, you've got to be careful who you send a paper. You don't generally send it to some Joe Schmo journal. I mean, you already have an idea of who you're sending a paper in. I don't know who gets caught up in these predatory journal things, but whatever.
Well, a lot of people just don't know. But there's a couple of good search engines that rank journals.
Citation Index, that kind of thing. I asked this before. Didn't get a very good answer from you guys, but how are you guys doing? So it hasn't changed since. So what are you sorting out?
My allergies at work lately. My life's great, except that when I go to work, I'm in pain. So I'm starting to call it the torture chamber.
So you're so anal that you have to actually sort your allergies.
Yeah, well, I've been told now, what am I going to do? I should try some hypnosis now. My boss actually said I should go work somewhere I should suffer less, and I'm getting kind of depressed about it in a way, because I like my job, and if it's this other department, though, that's mostly the problem, and so sorting that out. It's kind of, I don't know. I wish more people were aware of how painful this was for me, because what happens is, A, my sinuses blow up, I lose my voice, and then I get a severe headache. So it's kind of debilitating and extremely painful. So I'm starting to call it the torture chamber until I figure out who to talk to, because talking to my boss isn't working. So
yeah, we were talking about a couple things. One, I celebrated, well, my wife and I celebrated our 11th anniversary last night. And
you're in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I was in Saskatchewan a little while back, and I was in the middle of telling that story when we found out that nobody could hear us. I'll start retelling the story. Now, my mother and I went out to the old homestead, which is about an hour outside of Saskatoon. And there's two routes that I could take to get to the old homestead, and one was boring and the other is really fun because you catch air over hills. I didn't do that to mom.
I thought Saskatchewan was flat.
We're in the Allan Hills, so it is fairly hilly there. It's not totally flat. Not all of Saskatchewan is totally flat, but it's pretty flat. And so I came up onto the last hill where the two routes meet, and I was shocked. I had never seen this there was so much water everywhere, and there was an old farmhouse, and I knew the guy that lived there once upon a time. I hauled straw bales for him one summer, and he had a house there. He had a slough that he stocked with trout every year. He's gone, long gone now. But the water was but more than halfway to the roof. To or not the roof, the ceiling.
Wow.
Huh. And I'm just like, this never happened. This is the road is totally washed out. So it's a good thing I didn't go that way, because I would not have been able to continue on unless I backtracked. This has been apparently the last couple of years that my brother was telling me. And it's unheard of, the amount of water that's going, sticking around. And if you think climate change isn't happening, this is the kind of thing that you expect to see. We see a lot of wildfires now. I mean, it can't say any one thing, any one fire is caused by climate change, but you're going to see the frequency of wildfires around here increase. You're going to see the number of hurricanes and their intensity increase, and we already are seeing that. It was just really wild, and it was weird going back to some place I lived. The house isn't even there anymore. They moved the house somewhere else. Yeah, it was just very, very strange to see.
Wow.
But yeah, that was my little trip to Saskatoon and around there. Did some photography with a friend of mine. Let's see. I want to get to a couple of housekeeping things off here. Now, tomorrow night, Monday, it is... I mean, put that up on the screen. Where is my window? There we go. Tomorrow night is A User's Guide to Cheating Death. It's the world premiere. It happens on tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and it goes every Monday from September 18th, which is tomorrow, to October 23rd. And this is Tim Caulfield is the host of this show, and it's going through, he's a good skeptic, and it will be, he's also doing a live Facebook event to if it's today it's too late but yeah, and tomorrow in episode one is they're looking at detox things, you know, the bogus detox craze that's going on. So it's on Vision TV, that's the network, and so they give it a look tomorrow night starting. Oh, there we go. And the,
so early, well, ET 4:30 Eastern time.
Well, it'd be 5:30 here, right? Or so, okay. 6. No, 7. It'll be 7 tomorrow here. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock. There we go. In Mountain Calgary time. Also, I wanted to take 5 minutes. I don't want to spend any. It's not worth our time to talk about this. We're all fatigued of this topic, especially you and I, Christine. The whole fallout with CFI Calgary thing with Pride, and
it's still ongoing too, hey?
I don't know.
It's still ongoing.
So yeah, the whole thing is CFI Regina injected itself into the conversation, and they really should have just kept their mouths shut. And the president of CFI Calgary, I don't know if this is the president, the right word, anyone, came on.
No,
to
Canada. You mean Canada?
No. Regina.
No, you just said the president of CFI Calgary.
Did I? Oh, well.
Yeah.
The chat room will let me know. Okay. CFI Regina injected itself into our decision. Or not our decision. I wasn't involved. And it really should have kept their mouth shut. They had no business. CFI National has business with it, not CFI Regina. And Dan Benesch, who is the head of CFI Regina, came onto our page when I posted the letter that I sent to CFI National. And Dan, I goaded you. I really did. But you kept coming back. I don't know why you did that. It was bad argumentation from CFI Regina. For instance, you know, the carding is a big issue in law enforcement, not just in Canada, but in the United States as well. And the argument is because certain demographics are overrepresented in carding incidents, that therefore it's racism, which is a logical fallacy called affirming the consequence. Because there could be, because it's not a necessary condition. Racism is not a necessary condition. It's just a sufficient one. There could be another explanation for it. And there is. It's just that you can't use unscientifically obtained data in any way. Like, you don't know where the carding incidents actually happen, in what districts, in what, you know, it doesn't mean that any demographic is necessarily being targeted. And this is one of the arguments that they used. And honestly, I gave, you know, CFI Regina and CFI Canada the opportunity for me to read a statement by them. I never heard back from them. You can read into that what you will. But I find it to be, especially CFI Regina's position, to be an extremely anti-law enforcement one, anti-law enforcement position. Because, yeah, well, it's just the whole thing was, oh, law enforcement institutionalized racism. You know, it's so popular to rag on law enforcement today.
And it's very unpopular to defend them, clearly.
And especially since this was more about pride, was it not? But how come we're mixing so much with pride to do with racism? I can see how they're connected, but
intersectionalism.
Do not go there. Oh, please don't.
But it's precisely what it is.
If you want to send me off on a rant, that's how you do it.
But that's what it is. It's, you know, and I was posting about this yesterday, actually, and I was, you know, explaining like the different ways of feminism and stuff like that. The third wave was when, you know, people of, you know, women of color and lesbians and women with, you know, disabilities and stuff like that were starting to contribute to the conversation, which was a needed corrective because it was dominated by white women, right?
Yeah.
White academics who had leisure time and could afford things like, you know, even formula and childcare and all this sort of thing. So it was invigorating. So I understand where this, where groups come together and they realize that they have this commonality of oppression, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand the arguments behind
that.
This. Yeah, yeah. So that's where it's coming from. I disagree with the tactics. And, you know, I was speaking about Linda Saussure, right? And I obviously disagree with some of the allies that are, you know, that are these so-called allies that are supposed to be representative of feminism when,
How is Linda Saussure a feminist?
Well, that's just it. You know, like, they should be, aligning with, you know, Ayaan Hirsi Ali and Sarah Haidar and Marianne Mamazi. They should be listening to these voices, right? And, you know, so I said, absolutely. Like, intersectionalism needs more intersectionalism because it's become so North American centered that they're ignoring the rest of the world. And that's my issue.
Well, the problem with intersectionalism is you end up with the oppression Olympics where they, which one of us is the most oppressed? It's all identity politics. That's what really bothers me. It's all identity politics.
We're just like a microcosm of such a much broader issue, right?
I just find this bizarre.
Just came down on us, right? Like, how many other pride parades have submitted to this demand, right? Mm-hmm. And I've said too, maybe if I lived in certain cities, yeah, I probably would support that, but it's got to be context specific. I was really disappointed that we're so unimaginative here in Canada that we have to copycat
Toronto,
the Americans, right? Toronto copycatted the Americans,
yeah,
right?
True. Like, that's true.
We can come up with our own unique solutions, and you know.
I like what the Americans did with Toronto police officers. They invited them down there.
To
participate in their parade, and that really was very. That's an egg on the face of Toronto Pride, they deserved it.
Yeah.
They deserved it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And the Voices was the group that wanted no police in the Calgary Pride Parade, and they were saying that they would be uncomfortable with police officers in uniform
because
as a group.
Of things that happened in the 80s.
Well, I didn't even.
I'm willing to concede that shit still goes down. I am totally willing to
explain
concede
this.
That.
They kept giving examples from the 80s.
Well, but
explain this. Hold on. Explain this. They're afraid of police participating in the parade, but they're magically completely fine with all the police lining the parade route, creating a safe event.
Yeah.
How does that work?
The police were still there. They just weren't allowed to march in the parade.
And they're in uniform on the side.
And especially now when we have all this training not to be bias-based and to be aware of LGBTQ issues and everything in enforcement, they've made some very good inroads, especially the last 20 years, let alone the last 40 years. And to start saying you're going to be uncomfortable around police when you're getting protected by them at the same time for the
parade. Yeah, it makes
parade.
No sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So the only thing that makes sense to me is this is punitive action.
That is exactly the kind of tactic I'm thinking
of,
right?
It's a tactic.
Yeah.
And this
rather
is done.
Rather than, you know, extending your network, shutting away allies or potential allies. In our case, you know, okay.
And harming
so
relationships.
Cisgendered people. And for the most part, this conversation's gone on with mostly cisgendered people, white people, I guess, with the, you know, a few exceptions. But I think, you know, given our interview with Shane And, you know, some other feedback that we've had personally, I'm quite convinced, I'm quite confident to say that the LGBTQ community more broadly was not on board with this. And I'm also quite
absolutely
convinced that this, the Calgary police hesitatingly agreed to this under pressure.
Because they're trying to be accommodating.
They're in
as
a no-win situation.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah. There was
there's
no
members way. There's members now that are gay and they're quite happy. Do you want to start saying, like, this almost says to me that they're trying to say there's no gay officers, almost, if you call that a stretch in logic or whatever, but it's almost like denying that there's gay officers.
Yeah.
Have we talked since the parade?
No.
Did I tell okay, so there was that event called Unity in
yes.
Uniform.
Yes, I don't know how it was. Okay. How was it attended? Was it well attended?
It was well attended.
That's good.
So yeah, I got invited to it. I didn't want to sign up because I thought, you know, that's not the biggest venue, and I'd really like to see the people that deserve to be in the States, you know,
yeah.
to be there. So I didn't, you know, book. But I thought, well, how cool would it be if I started some kind of a fundraiser to pay for their dinner and drinks for the evening, right? Or contribute or something like that, right? So I contacted the organizer, and he said, you know, no, we can't accept that because it would, you know, I can understand, like, ethically kind of thing, but they had a charity that we could give to, and we'll post links later because I'm going by memory here. But anyway, so he ended up inviting me as a guest, and it was so much fun, and it was so inspiring to see so many people in uniform and in any, you know, all number of you know, because the idea was to come in uniform. And I was really disappointed because I thought, damn it, I need a black and white striped t-shirt. So I go as a prisoner or a criminal, right?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be my uniform. But anyway, so it was really fun. And, you know, I met some amazing new friends. And it was such a positive experience.
Oh, that's good.
And, yeah. Greg, the organizer. And again, I'll have to remember last names and
yeah,
stuff
this,
like that.
This was a... Later. A uniform friendly event.
And he encouraged people to attend Pride, and the police did show up. They weren't in uniform, but they were, you know, they're all, I think they were around, like, mostly black, right, along with the rainbow things, but they were carrying the police what do you call it, banner,
yeah, for the,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
the city yeah. police yeah. I imagine
yeah,
city.
With, yes. the, yeah. with the yeah. insignia on it. So I thought that was interesting because that was a symbol of the CPD, you know,
yes.
their logo on their banner. And I think that's wonderful, but, like, there seemed to be no comments on that. And also the conservatives that weren't, you know,
oh, yeah.
invited to come, shall
we
say.
The whole thing with Kenny.
Oh, wow. Katie Lang, hey? Katie
yeah.
Lang invited,
Jason Kenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
He's okay. He's trying to be the leader of the UCP along with four others. There's four others vying for leader of the UCP.
Yeah, I can't keep up with these acronyms. Yeah.
Some of them showed up, and, you know, they had their banner or whatever, and their matching T-shirts, and on the sidelines, obviously not participating in the parade. But so despite kind of, you know, being forbidden to attend, both had presence, I guess.
Yeah, there's probably one or two gay or lesbian members of the Conservative Party.
Of course there are.
One or two. not vying to be.
I don't know. It's a pretty, it has not been friendly to the LGBT community, I don't think.
Oh, absolutely not. And if you look at what Schweitzer and Kenny stand for, they're pretty much anti-homosexual.
Kenny is, you know, he's one of Harper's...
And so is Gene, Brian Gene. The only person I don't really know his position on this stuff is Jeff Calloway.
Yeah.
So Brian Gene, he wanted to get rid of gay marriage when he was with the feds.
Yeah. I'm sure Kenny, I don't know if Kenny must probably had that same position.
Well, yeah, they were all in the same, and they still speak against it in their various ways. Schweitzer especially.
Kenny's not the most compassionate person, let's just say.
No.
At politicians, I mean, he was Harper's attack dog.
Mm-hmm.
And in the riding, actually, just south of mine federally, and I guess he figured he couldn't get anywhere federally anymore after not winning the... Was he involved in the Conservative leadership federally? I don't think he was, actually.
Yeah. Jason Kenney used to be in the federal party, Brian
Yeah,
Dean.
Yeah. But did he actually run for the leadership after Harper stepped down?
I don't think so.
Think
they've all come back to Alberta.
Yeah,
They've all come back to Alberta to try to rebuild the Conservative Party here. It's no longer Progressive Conservative. They dropped Progressive, obviously. And now it's a lot of the Wild Rose together with, well, being that it's Brian Jean, he's running. Jason Kenney is very right-wing. Schweitzer is very right-wing.
Oh, yeah, they're
now they're just United Conservative Party. Yeah. There's no Progressive left at all in that name. Well, they dropped it.
They haven't been Progressive since Joe Clark. So,
yeah.
Joe Clark
so that's why they dropped that whole word. The entire word is gone now. It's simply UCP, and it's half of them, or I would say most of them, are Wild Rose.
Yeah, and Wild Rose is even farther right.
And there is no more Wild Rose. It's now UCP.
Yeah, it's... But it's rudderless at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, anybody else want to say anything on this? I know I said 5 minutes.
Yeah, I do want to say something. I think, you know, even though I've spoken up and, you know, we're all cisgender, I've been shockingly, I guess I was kind of shocked at how few of the LGBTQ contributors, like how much they said and how tone deaf everybody was to what they had to say.
What do you mean?
And what happened?
What do you mean?
Well, they were saying that they didn't support the decision either. There was quite a number of them that came to comment on the page and that kind of thing, right? And it seemed to me that their voices were really not taken into account. And it was all the cisgendered white people that were mostly, you know, there were, don't get me wrong, there were, you know, some thoughtful voices from, you know, a couple of quarters, shall we say, that I really appreciated. But for the most part, it was a bunch of straight white people
yammering.
Not listening to you. Like I said, we had Shane on. We I feel we did our due diligence in making sure that we knew what the fuck we were talking about.
I asked for a representative of Pride to, you know, I mean, I'm a little bored on podcast, but.
Oh yeah. And I did have something else to say. I thought, you know, why do you think it would be objectionable if we had a yearly march for racial equality here in Calgary? I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I really do. And it's not true that all, you know, I hate to use the term, people of color are friendly to the LGBTQ community. So let's, instead of, you know, like...
mashing it all together.
Well, or invite the LGBTQ community as your special guest or whatever. And, you know, you set the precedent for who you want to include and exclude. And I think everybody would be fine with that. I totally support a, you know, march, you know, for racial equality here in Calgary every year. And even if I was excluded from it myself, I think that would be, a, you know, has the potential to be something really great. So why can't we come up with these unique solutions? And, you know, I think unity and uniform was definitely one of those, but let's be a little more creative and foster unity, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing, fostering unity right now. What's being fostered?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then I think
what
you'd
this
see
turn into?
Well, I think you'd see a situation if we had a march for equality where, you know, many people from different backgrounds would come together that maybe hadn't engaged the LGBTQ community before. And this would be, you know, a way of unifying, right? Furthering understanding, I don't know, shall we say for new Canadians, some of them, that kind of thing, right? Like it you know, could foster a sense of community and support both groups. Yeah, support both groups and do some good, right?
Yeah. There's a real issue with racism right now. It's becoming more visible even in my city. So
those
racists are getting more and more visible. They're doing their rallies.
Nobody's denying that's an issue, and that's why I wouldn't mind seeing a march for, you know, racial equality or something like that happen here. I wouldn't mind that at all. I'd love to see something like that.
Yeah, human rights, equality.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than let things slide the other way and let these people have their little rallies and the only voice out there,
make it a civic event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Contribute something new to the community. And I think we would so all, you know, Randy, what do you think of that? Like, would you be on board with something like that?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something positive as opposed to.
Exactly.
You know...
Yeah. And that was my first thought. Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, look at all this arguing and like the divisiveness and all the pain that Helen went through, hey?
Well, you know, social justice does this. Social justice, to modern social justice, is an extremely divisive force.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I fight it. It's gone haywire.
Well, I think you and I in principle don't. You
know, no, we don't.
We are social justice. It's the tactics and the alliances that.
Well, it's also the imagined stuff. It's we got enough problems to deal with without making stuff up.
Yeah.
And
well, I wouldn't say it's making stuff up, but it's looking through the world through one particular. Are you saying that
there's something to microaggression?
Yes, I think in theory.
In theory?
Theoretically. Oh. No, it comes from academia. It's a theoretical concept. Sure. Right?
Yeah.
But once you take it into the real world, and that's how you view the world.
But it was used to describe the real world. That's the problem.
Well, it's something to think about.
I've thought about it. Done.
But it's supposed to be about using your mind, not using it as a weapon. Right.
Yeah, but that's what the inventor of the microaggression. What's his name? Dennis. Is it Wu? I can't remember. It was invented as literally as a weapon. That was its whole raison d'être.
It was meant as a critical theory, right? It's part of the critical theory.
Yeah, which I had kind of. What's the word? Have a good deal of disdain for?
That's fair.
Critical theory is,
but I can still
awful.
I understand it.
I'd like
you
evidence.
Know, I don't agree with it, but I can understand. Like, well, it's philosophical, right? It's thought experiments. You know,
that's fine, but
these
are departments that are supposed to be studying race relations, and they come up with critical race theory. How is that moving in a positive direction? It's crazy.
Because when that stuff came out in the 80s, it was very enlightening to certain bodies of knowledge that were excluding that perspective.
Well, that's kind of like the Trump effect.
It really was productive.
It's like the Trump effect. They were the only ones talking about it, and they could say whatever they wanted, and people would latch onto it because they were the only voice, for people that felt unprivileged, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give them carte blanche to go nuts. Some of the stuff in critical race theory is so bizarre that.
Yeah. Well, it's evolved into something that's kind of, taken a rather dangerous turn, I would say, right? But I don't know. There was things that were worth thinking about that have been brought up through critical theory that I think are worth thinking about. Like for example, in microaggressions, I talked about this posting where the author had said he found it offensive when people referred to him as something inarticulate or thoughtful inarticulate or something like that, right? And this was an African American person. And it had never occurred to me that could be offensive, right?
But did it occur to him that he is so insecure that he takes every compliment as a slight?
He got hated on, he got, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I shouldn't get hated on, but I don't want to know the guy. Because I'm going to bet dollars to donuts that the vast majority of the people that said that to him meant it as a compliment. They weren't attaching race to it. He did that on his own. So that tells me more about him than it does about the supposed aggressor.
It's about the lens through which the world is being viewed. And I understand
I think
it,
he needs
right?
to like, regrind that lens.
Well, okay. So like critical theory, like I've said before, is like one among many lenses, right? You can look at the world through a Freudian lens and there's going to be penises everywhere you look, right?
that's another one that you just chuck the lens. It's doing anything good.
If you enjoy playing with theories, then use two or three to look at the world triangulate and get some perspective instead of just using one.
I'm biased towards viewing reality.
Research, right?
Biased to viewing reality. A lot of this stuff is very subjective.
Yeah.
And I just don't have patience for it. I mean, give me some science.
It's called grounded theory, where you make the observation from that observation, you generate a hypothesis.
But then they don't test it. That's the problem.
Well, initial, right? Like this would be like a pilot study or something like that.
But nobody tests it. There's a reason that 80% of what comes out of academia in terms of number of papers in the soft sciences, so-called sciences, because I'm beginning to think that's a total misnomer, is never cited.
What's up?
It never gets one citation.
Oh, yeah.
Not one.
And the ones that do really take hold, whether they're, bullshit or not.
and that's why I think that there's an argument to be made that these departments need to be defunded.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Smarten up
or
lose your funding.
There are universities that are, we talk about, for example, GadSAD, right? Like he's using social sciences in terms of marketing and
he's doing
evolutionary biology,
science, though.
Right?
Okay, he's doing science. There's a difference between doing science and subjective opinion being spouted, and that's what a lot of social sciences is. The latter. There's not a single.
When you start introducing things like evolutionary psychology into the mix, and you're starting to alter that the field, shall we say, right? And so you don't want to just, we can't have this field anymore. You want it to be invigorated with other sciences, right? Like, I think
that'd be great. Too bad they don't
do
it.
Very interesting. That's another way to look at the world. Like, you can look at it through the feminist lens, or you can look at it through the evolutionary psychology lens. And these are two completely different lenses. And feminists, well, we talked about P.Z. Myers, right? He does not like, even though he's a freaking evolutionary biologist.
He's not. he teaches biology. That's all. He does
biology.
Not do any research. Okay. He does no research.
Okay. But, he wants nothing to do with evolutionary psychology. And I guess it's to do with a is-ought question. Like, what we find is the case isn't necessarily what we want to be the case.
Right.
And so people have moral objections to facts. On how they're deployed.
Exactly.
You can understand, like, why would we want to question, IQs of different races and stuff like that? Like, what kind of answer is that going to lead us to get, and what kind of political motives will that have, right? So, some questions are worth pursuing and some are not, right? Craniology or whatever? Shaving your head and all that shit?
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
Phrenology.
We don't do that anymore because it's stupid.
No, because it's not, it was found that there was actually no correlation.
Yeah. So we need to, I guess, be more interdisciplinary and not reject knowledge from outside fields.
Yeah, but what knowledge are these soft sciences producing? I mean, if it's subjective opinion, that's not knowledge. That's just somebody spouting nonsense.
Well, that's what philosophy is. Somewhere between humanities and social science and,
I would say ungrounded philosophy is useless, absolutely useless.
Well, but I just enjoy a good mind fuck, don't you? Like, I like to think about things I disagree with because it's fun,
Sure, but if it's got no grounding in reality, I don't see any value to it.
Because it cultivates my brain. It stimulates my brain. It makes me think things.
So does chess. Playing chess, it does the same thing.
Yeah, and music and all kinds of things like that, right?
I'm not saying defund philosophy. I'm just saying that there's certain areas. I mean, remember, a lot of what's going on in the social justice world is steeped in postmodernism, postmodernist
thought.
Yes,
and you can trace that very clearly back to a philosophical school.
And you can also trace it back to the Frankfurt school of Marxism.
Exactly.
They rot in hell. These chickens are coming home to roost.
People who saw the atrocities of what was going on in Germany and who, were neither communists nor capitalists. They were trying to, criticize both. And that's where critical theory arose from.
Yeah.
So you can see the roots.
We need to be critical of critical theory. That's the thing. And that's what's needed. We need to be critical of critical theory.
Well, exactly.
But they won't.
Fortunately, I went to a university that was critical. They taught it, but they taught other theories, and we were, trained to criticize them all.
And when was that?
Well, I'm still kind of doing the PhD.
Right, you're doing the PhD, but you have. I'm willing to bet things have changed.
The late 90s when I did my master's.
Right, I'm willing to bet since then that things have changed
a little bit. There's still some of. I did take cultural theory course a few years back, and some of the shit was kind of wingy to my mind,
And that's worth adding.
It was taught objectively. Like, we weren't, you have to believe this. It was just like, here's one way of looking at, a problematic. There's another lens through which you can look at that same, problematic. And here's yet another one, right? And use them all and be critical of all of them. And, have a balanced education, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Unfortunately, that's not what's happening.
They can be totally misused too.
Yeah, that's what's happening. This is the way things are. It's modeling reality.
Been taken from the academic context into the political realm, right?
Well, it's trying to map onto reality is something that may not even exist. So, and you get these angry people. Like, I'm not an angry person. anyway, Twyla has been off.
Sorry.
That's okay. Monopoly, anyway, yeah, let's move on. I didn't want to spend so much time on that. We've discussed this whole POMO thing.
I guess I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
That's good. Yeah. You should be thinking about
it. We never really got resolved.
What, the POMO? Like
we talk about the Calgary thing?
Yeah.
It's still, like I said, it's still ongoing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a dog in the race. I really don't. So let's go do some fun. Let's do some fun. This is from Slate. I don't usually have much to do with Slate, but this looks like fun. it's a game, or this is the game section of the podcast. And it is, guess whether these headlines came from Breitbart or 1920s KKK newspapers. This has got to be interesting. I mean, bring up the chrome. There we go. So there.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't gone through this either. It's by Andrew Kahn, Rebecca Onion, and Peter A. Shulman. Peter A. Shulman is a historian, I believe, and he's gone back through these. And here's the first one. Who is responsible for the crime wave? That's the headline. Who is responsible for the crime wave? Is that Breitbart or a Klan newspaper?
Breitbart.
Yeah, I said Breitbart.
I think I'm going to go with the Klan newspaper. Yeah, it's correct. Yeah, I got it. Yay, ding, ding, ding. That's one for me. I should, I won't keep score.
Okay, this newspaper, Protestant Nation, was it KKK paper?
Sure, they're Christians, right?
Protestant, wow.
Very Protestant. Yeah, you can't be KKK and Catholic. There's no way. next. All right, reporters cover up evidence of immigration crime wave. Breitbart or Klan news?
Breitbart.
Try.
Immigration instead of immigrant. I'm going to go with Klan newspaper.
I got to go with Breitbart.
Oh.
That's Breitbart.
Freaking 2015.
Yep.
July. Missing the visuals here because I'm a little behind.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Yeah, no, that's no problem.
Okay, so, all right, next. The headline is this. One new immigrant for every two U.S. births. Breitbart or Klan?
Klan.
Breitbart.
I've got to go with Klan. Oh, no, Breitbart.
Oh, my God, this is hard.
Breitbart published it as one new immigrant for every two U.S. births in 2015.
And he published it October 2016.
Yeah, all right. Number four. One foreigner enters by stealth for every one who is legally admitted. Immigration men say. Immigration men. That sounds like an old way of phrasing things. What the
hell is immigration men? That's freaking hilarious.
That's exactly why I'm going to go with Klan newspaper. What about you, Chris?
Somehow I'm getting visuals that give it away, so I'm going to have to say Breitbart because I'm essentially seeing the...
No.
That's freaking 1925.
Okay.
Your visuals are...
Okay. Sorry, I got to say Klan because immigration men would never fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a phraseology from yesteryear. So yes, it's a Klan from the Wisconsin Courier. Courier is spelled with a K.
Oh, right.
In January 1925.
There. Well, freaking, I don't understand people who don't understand how racist Breitbart is.
Yeah.
Nearly 300,000 illegal entries make many more unemployed to care for. Is that Breitbart or Klan?
300,000? Let's say Breitbart. That's quite a few.
Can you repeat it?
Nearly 300,000 illegal entries make many more unemployed to care for.
Yeah, I'll say Breitbart.
I gotta go with Klan.
Oh, it is freaking Klan.
300,000 wasn't that many. It was published again in the Wisconsin Courier in January 1925. Oh, here we go. Texas companies tie worker shortages to immigration fears. Texas companies tie worker shortages to immigration fears.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Breitbart because I think the oil industry has more sway now in terms of economic whatever in Texas. But I don't.
Yeah, I'm thinking Breitbart too, but I haven't heard too much complaining about it, though.
I'm assuming that Texas, meaning oil companies, that, you know, that, no.
I'm going to go with Klan.
Klan.
Oh, it was Breitbart. Yeah.
Huh.
June of this year.
June this year? Oh, my God.
Apparently, they're. How does that work, even? I mean, Texas companies tie worker shortages.
Yeah, really?
What? I don't even know how that works.
Okay, so maybe Texas companies. Well, no, this wouldn't make any sense, but Texas companies are short of labor because people are too afraid to illegally cross. That's how it works.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't seem consistent.
Yeah.
No, of course. course it doesn't.
All right.
Breitbart lies a lot too, so they might have said that when it wasn't even true.
Here we go. Number they 7. Intolerance. Who is practicing it in America? This is a funny one.
Breitbart
or Klan. Yeah, I got to go with Breitbart on that one.
Intolerance is a buzzword.
Yeah, sounds like a modern. No! Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Wow.
Wisconsin Courier, 1925 again. That Courier is right on top of things in 2017.
Wow. Article 12. You can't even really read most of this one. Has been clearly set forth in these articles that when simmered down to a final analysis, intolerance as decried by the Roman ecclesiastical empire is anything which does not conform to the dictates of the Roman corporation. What the?
What does that even mean?
Well, it's the Catholic Church. That's what they're talking about.
Okay. So that's published by Protestants?
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah.
Okay.
KKK
okay.
is Protestant. They're definitely not. You're thinking Knights of Columbus.
No, I'm just like, you know, the Catholic... What was it called? The Catholic what?
No.
Corporation?
Yeah, oh. The Roman Corporation.
Roman Corporation. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. All right. Liberal intolerance. You believe what?
That, again, makes no sense.
Liberal
I'll say Breitbart just because it sounds so whack.
Yeah, I got to go Breitbart on this one. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. And 2013, it's Breitbart. I was at
a dinner recently where I happened to be seated at a table with new acquaintances of the liberal political persuasion. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I can sure also, you were. Know what? That same headline isolated could very well come from somebody like you and me because, we, you know, or Majid Nawaz, who the regressive left, right? It's so...
Immigration laws protect America, expert asserts. Apparently the dog is going for Breitbart.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, have you heard of scratching at the door throughout
no.
too?
Breitbart, I think.
No, I'm going to go with Klan.
What about Chris?
Breitbart.
Oh, I was right.
Oh, yeah, Wisconsin nice. Courier. Courier, 1925.
Immigration law. Whenever they talk about expert and stuff, it seems to be the Klan paper.
Pardon me while I shut the dog up. Okay. I'll be back. Okay, bye.
The immigration system needs to protect American workers and taxpayers.
But that's both almost. It's a claim that they both like to make. God. It's like Breitbart goes back in time and grabs what used to work and still works with those white supremacist types.
All right, so which one?
Immigration system. I'll go with Klan.
I think I might go Breitbart. Yeah, at Breitbart. August. Oh. It was just this past
freaking
August.
Trump is in that picture, too.
I'm back, and I have a dog in here who's going to drive me insane.
All right, here's another one. Thousands of illegal immigrants busted with forged papers at border.
Klan.
Yeah, I got to say Klan.
Breitbart.
The word busted. Oh, it's Breitbart. Yeah, August 2016. Ooh.
Oh, Middle Eastern illegal immigrants now. They left that part out. I would have known for sure that would have been this year.
Forged papers found in plot of foreigners to enter U.S.
And of course, it's not true.
Can you repeat it? Forged?
Forged papers found in plot of foreigners to enter U.S.
Lot.
Klan.
Yeah, I think Klan.
Breitbart.
It's Klan. In the National Courier, the North Central edition. They have multiple editions, apparently.
Jesus. How widespread were these things? Mind you, Breitbart gets quite a freaking, like, even people like Melissa Chen shared a Breitbart article.
America was built on her citizens.
What?
Klan. Her citizens, I think, would not fly.
Fly nowadays, yeah.
I don't know, but they still call ships she, I think.
Let's go with Klan. Ooh, oh, no.
Breitbart, September 20th. That was a few days ago.
Yeah.
Ha. Huh. Wow. Wow. Well, her citizens are immigrants.
Yeah, no kidding. He's such a dumbass.
But these, okay, so, never mind. I'll shut up till the end of this. Okay.
America is for Americans.
Klan. That's a tough one, though. Yeah, Klan.
I think I got to go with Klan, too. What about you, Twi?
Yeah.
Yes. The National Courier.
March 1925. They were putting out a lot of stuff in 1925.
Yep.
Was that like, what the hell was going on back then?
Terrible things. Slavery.
Well, there was the, what, yeah, what was, yeah. Slave, what, did you say slavery?
When was slavery abolished? No, that was I don't know. I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
But it would still be the.
Well, if you're talking about Saudi Arabia, it would be 1975. But yeah.
No, 1925. We're
yeah,
talking here.
But yeah, you do. There was this little thing called the Civil War, right?
Yes. Okay. 1800. Never mind. I'm going to shut up now. I've got a dog taking my shoes.
You're tired. I can tell.
I'm tired.
Alien is trying to nullify U.S. immigration law. Backers try appeal to count a country's sympathy.
There's a lot of words there, so I'm going to go with Klan.
You think the Klan knows
I
lots
think
of
Breitbart,
words?
Backers doesn't seem to be a word that would have... Sounds like almost a financial.
Yeah, it's the Klan. It was in the Wisconsin Courier with a K. Oh man.
January 1925.
Yeah, apparently 1925 was a big year for KKK news industry. The last one. Senators denounce president for threatening entire constitutional system by nullifying immigration laws.
Senators denounce president.
Of course, we don't know which president. That would kind of be a
giveaway.
Pretty wordy.
Breitbart. Maybe they're complaining about Obama.
I think I'm going with the Klan.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's a lot of words again, but I'm going to go
with
Breitbart.
Oh, Breitbart, 2014.
Yeah, because Obama.
I didn't know that
so
Breitbart
they did 2014,
knew that many words.
See?
Yeah. Well, there's the test. Or the cool. Oops, wrong one there.
Yeah, that was just Breitbart's thing. Just pick on Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Okay, so what was my score? 8. I got half of them right.
Oh, yeah. Did it give you a score?
The average score is 10.
No. I wasn't following.
No, I was.
Or
I,
not on.
I didn't get my score. That's okay. Somebody can always tell me what I got. Moving on. Al Jazeera. Brussels airport deports Danish woman wearing niqab. Now, despite the rather bizarre English, because airports don't deport people. So a Danish woman who allegedly refused to take off her niqab. Of course, that's the full body thing where women are made to disappear, like some David Copperfield trick. She has been deported from the Brussels airport after police were unable to identify her. A Belgian official said, and Belgium has a ban on the niqab, and the Danes are actually considering it too. But there's an actual that you can't wear that; you get ticketed if you wear it. She was coming from Tunisia, from Tunis. So yeah, that's a kind of a bit of a security issue.
Well, yeah, if you can't tell if it's male or female or one of those people on the do not let in your country list.
Yeah.
And she was sent back to Tunis. Yeah, it's, let's see.
Sorry, but if you can't show your face even in private?
Well, I'm sure they could arrange to have a female border agent, have her take it off in her presence. But
in
I'm sure it was
in private area.
Yeah, you'd think that they would actually have done that, offered that. It doesn't say whether they did or did not, and we don't know. So I'm just assuming that they did. And they couldn't identify her, so yeah, bye-bye. Back to Tunisia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's the country's laws. You can't break them.
Yep.
And like you say, Al Jazeera and their choice of language, deports. Could this not be kind of, I guess, advancing an agenda, perhaps? Having said that, there is, a fair bit of, right-wing racism rising up there as well. So, to be fair.
Well, they have, been the targets of significant terror activity, and they are understandably very nervous. And when somebody comes in garb which completely hides them, what can you do? It's not even legal for her to wear a niqab on the street anyway. So, I hear this, the dog.
I'm sorry.
That's
she's
okay.
Throwing a dish around, and she needs a lot of attention.
And so that's all. Anybody got to say on the niqab?
Well, it's the country's law. It's just there's reasons for that, especially when allowing people to come into the country. If you can't actually tell if they're male or female or who they say they are, I what else can you say?
Yeah.
I guess I have a question. Like, how if you're not allowed to wear it in public? As opposed to, say, civic spaces, who enforces that and how? Like, it sounds like they just hand out fines to women for wearing this, but
sounds like it.
How do we know that it's a woman that aren't being forced? How do we know we're not punishing the victims here?
Yeah, this is my problem with banning the niqab. Are you?
Yeah.
You're
like I can in civic spaces, yes. In public spaces,
yeah, like
get on board with that. Yeah, or a mall or something like that. Like, yeah, I'm kind of uncomfortable with you not having your face. Or, you know, like if you own a liquor store or something like that, and you tell people that they have to take off their Halloween masks or their toques or whatever, you know, like, that's fine. I think you should be allowed to do that. And if people don't want to show their face, then they don't have to, you know, go to that business. But mm-hmm. like civic spaces, no religious symbolry whatsoever, no covering your face. Public spaces, I don't think we should punish potentially victims.
Yeah.
Who knows? They might take it home to their husbands.
It's a difficult thing.
And have the shit beaten out of them, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what's behind that veil. It could be an acid burn face.
Yeah, that's true.
Or it could be a criminal, you know?
Boy, you just love to believe in the best of people. That's what I love about you.
I'm such a cheery little
guy. Yeah. Even your own life is meh.
I have a very good life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So we go to another cheerful story with Indonesian woman lashed 100 times for being in the presence of a man she was not married to.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. And the caning had to be paused because the woman was in terrible pain. Yeah, really? The only name given for her is Mazita, a 30-year-old woman, and it was watched by thousands in a totally unpronounceable. I'm not even going to try.
What a horrific
Lhokseumawe. Okay, I'm going to try. Lhokseumawe. Okay, it's in Indonesia. That's by the way, the largest population of Muslims on the planet living in Indonesia. So it took place after Friday prayers. So I guess everybody had more incentive that Friday. And had to be occasionally paused when she was crying out in agony. I mean, this is horrible. This is the Sharia that Linda Sarsour doesn't want you to see and never brings up. It's always, you wouldn't have any debt. You wouldn't have to have any interest on your student loans or on your credit cards. It's like, as if anybody yeah. would lend under such circumstances. It's ridiculous. It's the only province in Indonesia where this kind of thing happens, apparently. This is terrible. Public canings used as a punishment for the violation of Islamic law are common in Aceh, with 339 taking place last year, according to the Institute of Criminal Justice Reform. Oh, Jesus. A think tank based in the country's capital, Jakarta. I hope they're going after this crap. So human rights. Look at this. Earlier this year, two gay men were caned 83 times for having consensual sex in private. I mean, it's just...
I know.
It's a horrible system.
And just imagine, what we hear in the media and what the thousands of things that don't get reported, right?
Yeah.
For every one we hear, I'm sure there's 1,000 equally, if not more, horrific stories.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of domestic violence in Islamic communities as well. Not to mention, of course, the female genital mutilation goes on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's move on to something funny. Well, it's funny to us anyway. Toronto man angry. I love that. He's
we did
angry.
This one, didn't we?
No, we just barely mentioned
it. No, we didn't talk about it in depth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So a Toronto man angry after learning his $8,100 master's degree that required no exams or academic work is fake. Seriously,
wow.
Dude?
Who knew?
Okay. So this guy's a winner. Erwin Sneedzins in Toronto, I believe. Yeah, he's a Toronto business management consultant. Doesn't trust traditional universities. What? Like, is that like not trusting modern medicine so you go to a chiropractor or naturopath or something? I mean, it's very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to add to the irony, it's King's Lake University, the degree of Master of Education. You don't trust normal educational institutions with Masters of Education?
Yeah.
In technology? What the hell is technology in education?
Yeah, I read that too, and I'm thinking, that's like the video club in high school, right? You can operate the projector.
Well, education? That should qualify you to be a
technology in education.
Oh, okay.
Master of Education in Technology in Education.
Like I said, that's like operating the projector.
Oh, so you know what? I could apply. I could, you know, spend $8,000 and apply because I know how to make PowerPoints. And so that would make me in something technician. Yeah.
Sure. It'd make you a...
You can get a master's. Just pay $8,100.
Software technician.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a ticket.
Microsoft software tech.
I love this.
Well, actually, they do qualify people in the Microsoft thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Just making a PowerPoint, though. There is such a thing.
Well,
yeah,
no, there's different levels.
It's like Photoshop,
expertise, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually
it has to be like PowerPoint level 1, 2, 3. It's not just I made a PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, this isn't even that much work. Okay.
Well, so Windows doesn't call it a master's degree either.
Well, I don't know what it is.
It's just a damn certificate that you know how to do PowerPoint. Yeah.
No studying, no exams, no work. And $8,100. And he thought it was... I love this. A school sharing his unconventional approach to education.
In Pakistan.
Being a lazy ass isn't really unconventional. I'm pretty good at that myself. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, this guy. The one thing that this article does not say is how he found out that it was bogus.
Yeah.
That's one thing I would love to know how he actually found out, because he's never tried to. I think I know how he found out as somebody investigated his credential, because he listed
get this in his LinkedIn profile. Yeah, he's described as an artificial intelligence gamification patent inventor, keynote speaker, professor, author, because he's the CEO of Mountain Knowledge, an educational software company. Now, probably someone was looking into his credentials because they buy the software from him, right? And they maybe want to know how good it is.
Well, and he ran for mayor of Toronto in 2014. Jeez. So people would investigate, their background and get information. But what the hell is an artificial intelligence?
He's just naive,
Oh, I think that's
educational software company. Well, how would you be so naive about a master's in education?
Because if you've spent your entire life in the corporate realm and never had contact in the academic realm, you probably would be kind of naive.
So,
right?
What's his educational software like? I wonder.
Maybe he's just the guy who.
Well, you're playing devil's advocate.
Does it say he's successful or not? I don't know. Maybe he's just literally there have been people in the oil industry that have, in their 60s or whatever, that have become presidents of companies that say, guess what? I'm actually illiterate, right? Because they've had all that support on their side, right?
They finally
They've been able to hide it. They've been able to find ways to not embarrass themselves, right?
Yeah.
So there can be a naivety in people. Because they haven't been exposed to that realm. So, and it sounds like Marketplace wasn't seeing him as trying to bullshit, right? Like, he's mad about it. He's a victim. I wouldn't say that he's a scammer.
No, but
he's just naive.
Well, that's kind of
up for debate.
That's euphemism.
But what troubles me is, we're talking about why did Marketplace investigate this? It says here, the Marketplace investigation revealed there are more than 800 Canadians who could have fake degrees. Many Canadians could be putting their health and well-being in the hands of nurses, engineers, counselors, and other professionals with phony credentials, Marketplace found. That's alarming.
It is scary.
Yeah.
An engineer, counselor counseling you that's full of crap? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And didn't it say somewhere, let's see, I thought somebody had sued because they were somewhere else in the article.
And Snideson is saying it's like counterfeit money now. He does really, it says, I really feel stupid if that's the case. Like he says.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I feel sorry for the guy.
But the thing is, how can you expect to be handed a degree?
With no studying.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, we know this, but
people that, in his shoes, that's education as it is. So he wouldn't know, right? He's never... I don't even know if he's passed high school, for goodness sakes.
Well, he might be. I'm looking at a picture of him, and he doesn't seem to be a younger man, right?
No,
maybe
he
apprenticed and, never even finished high school. But he's got all this, what he perceives to be corporate experience that might
and
be
life
very
experience.
Much. Yeah, exactly. So, I think it wouldn't be hard to be snowed into bullshit, right?
Yeah, well, he's
We're
naive
skeptics.
about education, which he has, which he supposedly has a master's in.
Well, because
that's
he
the
got
cool
scammed.
Irony there.
Okay, and then there was that other situation where, what was it, like a really well-known stockbroker got implicated in, no, not implicated, but he had actually invested in what turned out to be some ridiculous scam, right? And he's just like, I've made an ass of myself. I'm a professional investor, and I fell for this bullshit.
Oh, was that in Skeptic Magazine?
Probably.
Yeah, that was a really good article.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, smart people can get, can be gullible, and I feel bad for the guy. I don't blame him. I don't think he was trying to mislead. I think he was just naive.
I think he's trying to mislead if he's trying to say he has a master's. I mean, how are you that naive that you think you can just get a diploma?
Yeah, and his distrust for...
You can't even get a high school diploma without a GED exam.
But when your entire life, you know... And okay, so for example, my dad never graduated high school because in that generation you would apprentice and, you know, right?
Apprentice, it wasn't... at least.
Yeah, but yeah. You got and something.
So... At least.
You actually had to work for
you. You can't
your...
apprentice for a master's.
Yeah. But I can, like, this guy looks to be in around the same generation. And if you've cultivated all this, you know, great experience and you've been very successful in your life and you think, oh, wow, I could, you know, it might not be so hard to snow somebody like that.
Well, I think there's a bit of hint of arrogance in there too.
Yeah, especially his attitude towards education, which he thinks he has a master's in.
Ugh. But he's not an academic. That's what I'm saying.
No
he doesn't
kidding.
Understand
yeah,
he
I think that's pretty clear. Process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think he just got taken for a ride.
I went over to did you go over to the Kings Lake University website?
No.
Take a look at, I mean,
Pakistan.
Go take a look at, KingsLakeUniversity.org, and it's got this picture of this huge auditorium, and on the what is actually obviously photoshopped onto the screen is the symbol for this nebulous Kings Lake University, which, by the way, does not have a physical address, even though it implies that this building is, you know, it doesn't make the absolute claim that. That this is one of our classrooms, which I would hate to be in, by the way, because this thing is truly huge. It looks like it seats a few thousand. You're not going to get much teacher or professor mentoring going on here.
Well, yeah, and they don't have classrooms because it's a website. It's not a building.
It's just a
so
phone
there's
number.
There's actually no.
Well, anybody can hold a seminar. You just rent a hotel venue or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get a degree from a fly by night. Operation.
Are you kidding me? Look at motivational freaking speakers and how they can sell, right? And make it look like an auditorium is full, because it is. Of
yeah, Tony Robbins.
You know, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Whoa. Chopra. They even sent him a grad cap and gown.
I hope so for $8,100.
Yeah. You know?
The profit margin's pretty good.
and it, whatever the United States official document that looks like it's got legal shit was signed by John Kerry.
Yeah. Oh. Forged signature of a oh man, they can get in a lot of trouble for that if they ever catch
these
people.
Yeah, no shit.
That's forgery. Yeah.
They don't operate in the United States, that's for sure. No way.
Assuming that's even John Kerry's signature.
No, of course it's not.
No. But it probably wouldn't be hard to lift off the net.
No, absolutely.
It's, you know,
just a little bit of Photoshop and got it.
Yep. Boom,
done.
And this guy's going on the hunt for a master's degree to validate his professional life experience. He's obviously looking for diploma mills so he doesn't have to do exams. So he found the best looking website and ordered it.
Yeah, that's why I say there's a bit of arrogance in there, because he's thinking, I don't have to do all this work. I've done it all in my life. And no, not bad. I bet you haven't. I mean, does he know education theory? And I doubt it. I really do.
He doesn't need to know that. He already knows
I
everything.
I don't know it. I mean, I don't expect to get a... This is the angry man. Ooh.
No, it's obviously bullshit, but I think the guy was just taken.
He's taken, all right.
Like, why would you put yourself in the media like that and say, look at me, I'm ashamed of myself.
That's hard to do.
Mistake, right?
That's hard to do.
Yeah,
kudos for that.
The guy credit. Yeah.
Because then hopefully other people learn from his mistake instead of being so naive themselves. I mean, so that is commendable.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. What do you guys got?
Nothing.
Oh,
Well, yep. Sessions today, of all people, showed up at Witch Awards ceremony to make fun of Trump. I gotta say, I'm a little impressed by that. I just, which award show is on tonight?
Probably the Emmys. I don't follow that. But
yeah, and everybody's saying you look so tan tonight and relaxed. It was Emmys.
I didn't even Fox know.
Donald Trump.
I only knew because I saw the commercial with Stephen Colbert. He's hosting them, so.
Nice. I wonder how they managed to get Spicer in there.
They probably threatened to have an impersonator.
What's that?
They probably threatened to have an impersonator. What's her name? Who SNL was impersonating him.
Spicy so well, that lady. Oh, my God. Yeah. No. Hey, well, kudos to him. Like, I wonder if he's going to get any backlash for that from the White House.
I think maybe.
Fired now, so they can't fire him.
Fake news.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I don't see anything on the chat. Is there anything going on in the chat? Probably not.
Nope.
No. All right. Well, I guess that's all I got.
We have two watching. One is me. One is you.
I don't know if I'm one of them.
Okay.
Woohoo! We might have somebody watching. Well, next week we have guests. It's next Sunday, right?
Yep.
It's next Sunday. We have
no. It's isn't it? No, it's not. It's
October 4th.
Yeah.
Okay. It's October 4th, and we have Armin Navabi.
Not October 4th. Just like October 4th isn't a Sunday. Never mind. You carry on.
Yeah, we have. Oh darn it! Who is
you're
it?
Right?
Yasmin
you're
Muhammad.
Right.
Yeah. Is it? Armin I'm right.
Navabi. Yes, you are. I'm sorry.
It's Armin so it is Navabi. Next Sunday. Okay, the 24th.
Yeah, and I apologize.
Right.
And Yasmin, right. I'm sorry, I can't remember her last name.
Yasmin Muhammad?
Armin Navabi. Yeah.
And Armin Navabi, and from the Secular Jihadist podcast.
I know that Armin.
Because I'm not sure who's involved in
the,
that.
Atheist Republic.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
But he's on. But he's also gotten together with Faisal and Ali Rizvi and his wife Yasmin, and they've created that.
No,
Ali's
wife is.
Oh, sorry, got the wrong person.
Alishba.
Oh, it's actually Lisbon. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Getting people mixed up. So yeah, we'll be having them on, and we're going to be talking. I'm going to actually be putting a hypothesis past them, and I've already put it past Peter Boghossian. He thinks it's got some merit about radicalization, and I just want to see from their perspective whether that it flies with them. So it'd be interesting.
Boghossian was traveling to de-radicalize, wasn't he, at one point?
He was working with some of that.
Yeah,
you know, it's part of his what's his degree in psychology?
Philosophy.
Or philosophy. Yeah, it might be philosophy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we will have Yasmin and Armin on. Faisal chickened out.
Well, if he's not too busy being gross and racist.
He says he's not interesting. What a load of horseshit. Okay, come on.
He's what?
He said he's not interesting.
No.
A lot of horseshit. Whatever. Lazy.
He's just busy, but
he's busy. Yeah.
Maybe we can get him on anyway.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's I guess it for another episode. Yay, yes. Okay. 212. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Just kidding. Good night.
You've been listening to the Legion of Reason coming to you from Calgary, Canada. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please consider reviewing us on iTunes. Music was provided by Dean Morrison and Graham Hill and used with permission.